We went through a lot of different ideas on what to name our podcast and our group, and we went with Becoming Ellie because Ellie, I found this story about Ellie being, well, about Thor going to this place and being challenged to fight this basically old woman and to wrestle with her, and everyone laughed and bet money on Thor, and she ended up beating him, and which of course was the great upset. But we were like, well, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, the other thing is Ellie is the Norse goddess of aging. And since we're all kind of getting older, I mean, that's the hope. Aging seemed appropriate. So.
Right. So over 50. So, there's not a lot of great stories, I think, about women over 50 defeating things of any kind.
She's bold. She's sassy. She's a woman over 50 living a life she designed on purpose with purpose. And now here's your host of Women Over 50, a life redesign podcast, Shelley Dryman.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, a life redesign. My name is Shelley, and I am your host for this podcast. And if you're a new listener, welcome. I appreciate you listening. And as always, I appreciate my long-term listeners. Before I get started on this podcast with Chris and Jill of Becoming Ellie, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, this is a do-it-yourself podcast, and I am okay with that. If you have been listening to me at any length of time, you will know that I experiment with intros, music, and I just switch it up a lot, really trying to find what suits me. And, I'm not flashy, I'm not fancy. So the way that I do it really suits my personality and my voice. And if you would like to support this podcast, I would love that. You can do that at paypal.me/Shelley Dryman, and I'll drop that link down below, whether it's $1 or 5 or 10. I would just appreciate you letting me know how much you appreciate my podcast by supporting this independent podcast. Another thing too is we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. You can find that link in the show notes as well. Okay, on to the episode with Becoming Ellie with Chris and Jill. I really loved talking to these two fantastic women. In the actual podcast episode, I talk about how I stumbled upon them, but we just had a great conversation. It was like three friends having conversations over coffee, talked about their journeys individually and collectively, how they started in fitness and how they've been able to maintain on this journey of theirs, and also where the name Becoming Ellie came from. All right, without further ado, on to my episode with Becoming Ellie.
Well, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. And I was telling Chris before you got on, Jill, was that I had found your podcast through, I'd done a Google of Women Over 50 podcast to listen to while I was running, and I came across yours. And the first episode I heard, I think was your 50th episode, where you were talking about how you got to Becoming Ellie and your fitness journey and all that, and what you ate and your diet and what you liked and didn't like. I loved it so much. So, I'm just like chugging along and I'm thinking, I've got to get these gals on my podcast. So that's how I found you. And I'm
super that's wonderful.
About that. Yeah. Before we get started talking about the two of you, there was a question in the Facebook group about your name, Becoming Ellie. And I know how it came about because I was on your website, but can you tell our listeners how you came up with Becoming Ellie?
Well, we went through a lot of different ideas on what to name our podcast and our group, and we went with Becoming Ellie because I found this story about Ellie being, about Thor going to this place and being challenged to fight this basically old woman and to wrestle with her. And everyone laughed and bet money on Thor. And she ended up beating him, which of course was the great upset. But we were like, well, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, the other thing is Ellie is the Norse goddess of aging. And since we're all kind of getting older, I mean, that's the hope, aging seemed appropriate. So,
right. So over 50. So, you know, there's not a lot of great stories, I think, about women over 50 defeating things of any kind. And we just really were taken with that idea.
Yeah, well, it was a real achievement, you know.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That is really a cool way of figuring out your name. It's unique, actually.
Well, we had to change the name of the podcast to Fit Strong Women Over 50 because people couldn't figure out how to spell Ellie.
Right.
You know, and it's E-L-L-I. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've spelled it a million different ways, too. So that's why it's Fit Strong Women Over 50 podcast for the Becoming Ellie community.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I think the name of your podcast is perfect because of the topics that you talk about. And I know your story. I've listened to your podcast, but I'm really I would really like our listeners to hear how the two of you got together.
Go ahead, Jill.
Well, so Chris and I both are, I guess, small business owners. We both run our own businesses. And for a period of time, we both rented space in the same office area. And so every morning we would not be talking about work. We would discuss our race, running, whatever we were doing. And finally, we just started running together and having great conversations together. And then we began to sign up for races together. And it just sort of became a thing.
Yeah, we actually joined a team together so that we could run the Akron Marathon, but we each ran like 1/5 of it. So, you know, it was sort of like you had a choice of 3.6 up to 5.8 miles.
Right. It was a relay race.
It was a relay race, exactly. So with three other women, the five of us ran the Akron Marathon back in 2016, maybe 2015. I forget which year it was. 16, probably. 15, whatever. And so it took a lot of coordinated training and getting ready and everything. And it really got us interested in, you know, doing more.
Well, the funny thing was, is that it was we went on a training run. That's how the Becoming Ellie community started.
That's right.
We went on a run together and we were just chatting and we both basically had the same idea of what we wanted to do. So we decided, well, rather than either one of us doing it separately, we would combine forces, which has made life a little easier for both of us, I think.
Absolutely. I don't think I'd still be doing it if you weren't here, Jill. Really, I don't know. There's something about having a partner in crime that makes it so much more fun and doable, you know.
Right.
I agree. I ran a half marathon once and I said never again. But I am so in awe of women, especially women over 50, you know, over 40 doing marathons, because I know just for 13 miles, the training that goes into that.
Right. Oh, so,
but,
right.
But you gals just didn't wake up one day and said, oh, I'm going to run a marathon.
No.
No. I know you've got, I know that you each have your own separate journeys on to how you got to where you are. And that's what our listeners really like, are these journeys that you go on, and then you go on to do these, like, really, because running is hard.
Yeah.
So just, you know, getting your fitness up and everything, I think, is so great. So whoever wants to start, Chris, you want to start? Just tell us a little bit about your own personal journey.
Well, in 2007, I turned 50 and I went to the doctor and it fully expected to get a request to do the, you know, the whole colonoscopy thing. But he kind of shocked me and said, no, you need to lose weight. And I was well over 200 pounds at the time, but I thought I hit it pretty well. I'm only 5'4" and a half. So that really shook me up. And that was the beginning of my weight loss journey and now maintenance journey. It took me several years to get to my goal weight in Weight Watchers. But once I hit my goal weight, Weight Watchers just didn't do it for me because it was, and they changed the program. And I was struggling with that and found that I had more success in the gym with people that I talked to about, you know, their fitness and things like that, and found that working out a lot helped me to stay focused on eating right. Because the weight loss, unfortunately, and you've probably all heard it before, is what happens in the kitchen, not what happens in the gym. But I can focus more on the kitchen if I've already done a tremendous workout. I don't want to ruin it. You know what I mean? That whole metabolism thing. So
how did you get up to 200 pounds?
Well, it happened very slowly over probably 20, 25 years. Had kids, did a lot of soccer, sitting on the sidelines. My daughter was on a soccer team, and I estimate I watched over 700 soccer games. And while I did some walking, it was really the spring, I think, of 2005. I went to Girl Scout camp with some rubber boots for the weekend to chaperone with my daughter's Girl Scouts. And they had no arch support. By the time I got back, I didn't realize it, but my Achilles tendons and my plantar fasciitis, my feet were a mess, basically. And then that whole year, I really moved less and less and less and less. And it just, the pain was a lot. So I had to do physical therapy. And I really gained a lot of weight just from sitting and not moving at all. And so that's how I got up there. And I realized when the doctor said something to me, and he, you know, I've been going to the same doctor forever. So he knew, you know, over the years how things had changed. And I think part of it is too, when you hit menopause, that changes your hormone structure, or it did for me. And I had to do a lot of different things to try to get things back in balance.
And I think that's such an important point, is that it just happens so slowly.
Right.
You know, you just don't realize that these cumulative effects over the years.
Right.
But I turned 58 years ago. Up until then, I ate whatever I wanted.
Right.
Literally ate whatever I wanted. And now I look at a potato chip and, you know, I gained 20 pounds or whatever. But yeah, I think that's a really important point you make, is that it just happens so slowly. And then you just think, how did this happen? And I've got some more questions for you about that later, Chris. But Jill, what's your story on this?
So likewise, I had gained significant amount of weight over, and again, gradually. It was sort of one of those things where, you know, you look back and you think, well, boy, I thought I was overweight at that number, and I wish I was there now.
Exactly.
And I had a sort of a wake-up call. Well, there were a couple of things. One, I went to buy some clothing for a trip and realized that I could no longer fit in the same size. I was going out of the the Mrs. department into the plus size, and I thought, all right, this is going to be a major investment. I really need to do something about this. The other thing that happened was I worked at a place and they took pictures at the Christmas party, and then somebody stuck those pictures on the website. And there I was, front and center on this website for the whole world to see. And I looked at that picture and I thought, oh my. I too, Chris, thought I carried it well, but let me tell you.
Photos never lie.
Those photos are was painful. Yeah. So I lost weight, and I did that through a variety of ways. I never managed to just do something and then consistently and lose weight, but I managed to do enough that I would lose some and then plateau there for a while, then try something else, lose some more, try something else. But somewhere in there, I also began to do the exercise, which I had never done. I was not an athlete growing up. I was very fond of sitting in a chair reading a book. That was my MO, I guess. So I began to, so again, I did different things. And one thing I realized early on is that I was motivated through making commitments by like signing up for things and spending money on it. So I started at one point with a class that I paid for. So I went twice a week to this like weight and cardio class, and it was very interesting. It was this 10-week class, and at the end of the 10 weeks, I was noticeably stronger than I was at the beginning. And I think I did water aerobics, and I was the youngest person there by about 20 years, I think. But I was certainly appropriate in my fitness journey to be there. And then I joined a gym and started doing, you know, machines and cardio, and I lived on that elliptical. And but the gym also had one of those things where you got free workout fitness things where, you know, where they tell you, okay, go on this machine and put it on this weight and do it 10 times, do three sets of 10 reps, whatever, at this weight. And I would do that. And I love checking off the little thing that I'd done it. And then they told me, you know, after you've done this so many times, you can up the weight. And I was very motivated by upping the weight. And because those things were free, as soon as I was able to get another free one, I did that. And it was finally one of the trainers was a young man who would give me my workout prescription. And he said to me finally, you know, we need to move you off these machines now. You are ready to use free weights. And he took me off to this separate area in the gym and showed me how to use dumbbells and whatever. And I felt so uncomfortable at first there because I really felt like I was not someplace where I should be. It was inappropriate for me to be there with all these young guys that were, but what I realized quickly was I was completely invisible to those young guys, that they were looking for someone to spot. They did not look at me. and they were fine, but no one ever said to me, you don't belong here. They ignored me, and that was fine. I didn't really want any attention. And so I started doing that. I really liked that. And then I think in there, I decided I needed to do something other than live on the elliptical. So I did a couch to 5K, and that was what began my running career. And I have to say, whenever I stop running for a period of time, I go back to that couch to 5K app. It's such a nice thing. And actually, even if I am running, it's a good way then to work on other things, because it's really a interval training thing. Yeah. You know, you can up it to do your speed, increase speed, whatever. I like it.
I know that in the first episode I listened of yours, you ladies talked a lot about keeping track of things. Like, you know, you had your pieces of paper and you had calendars in your purses and things like that. excuse me. I think that is so important because to develop habits, you know, they run on this loop. You have this, you know, the trigger, you have the behavior, and then you have the reward. So being able to like click tick off things or feeling that you've accomplished something is just this like immediate reward for this tracking.
So that's exactly like with increasing the weight and being able to write that on a little piece of paper.
Right. Exactly. So, I guess another question that I have, let's see if I can phrase this correctly, because it just came to me while you were talking, but how did you just stay started, like beyond the, you know, you got someone to help you out, you had, you know, you were able to tick off your things, but mentally, and I ask this just because I am going to start Monday morning at 5:00 in the morning, twice a week with this personal trainer. Because I've got to like start doing some strict training like this. And already I'm like, dear Clay, I can't come on Monday. It's too early and I'm scared. So, and even though he's a friend of mine. So how mentally how did you mentally stay in that place to keep going, to lose the weight and get strong and do all the running and all that?
Well, I know for me, it was to have something more scary than just showing up to a training. It was to sign up for something that I thought was really big. And in, I think it was 2011, I signed up for the first MS ride that is 150 miles over a weekend. And that was beyond my comprehension. I'd been spinning a little bit, but didn't feel accomplished at all. So the fact that I signed up for that and put myself out there and started raising money, it's a fundraiser for MS. That made me want to go to the trainings because I knew if I didn't, I would never make it. And then it progressed from there, you know, signing up for the relay in the Akron Marathon and then signing up for half marathons and, you know, always having something huge kind of looming over my shoulder. That was a true motivator, and it made it easy to go to a group exercise class or a personal training class or go on a weekly training run or a training ride.
That worked for me.
Which is hard right now because I'm not signed up for anything big.
I signed up for a virtual 5K that I'm going to run with a friend.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're okay, but it's not like running with 700 other women in a race.
Virtual 5K last weekend, and
yeah.
It was sort of like, well, I went out and ran 3 miles.
But you get a shirt, right? I like running shirts, so racing shirts.
Yeah, that's fine. The other part about signing up for the big goals is we, like signing up for the relay race, there were other people dependent on us.
Oh, great point.
So you couldn't. All right, so maybe I sign up for something and then decide, all right, I'm not going to do that. That's really not my nature. But when you have other people who are also signed up with you, you make a commitment to other people. The personal training also, I did a lot of personal training because that is something then that's on your, it's less easy. It's more difficult to cancel that or to say, I don't feel like doing this, because at the gym, if you cancel your personal training at a late moment, you get charged for it regardless. And that just drove me crazy. So I would never just cancel.
Well, I bought a package of 10 weeks.
Okay.
And this guy's a personal friend of mine. So I have like this double, I would be so embarrassed if I just, you know, like Sunday night at 10 o'clock, like I can't come in on Monday morning. So I think that's a great motivation too. It's like you've got somebody who is depending on you to be there.
I think the other thing is just when you talk about recording things is that when you start to see improvement and you start to gain strength or endurance, so you realize that you can now, I remember after I started doing all this, I went on with a hiking group. And we were walking up this hill, and I never even noticed it. And then all of a sudden, someone commented about the hill being steep, and I realized that there were a number of people around me who were huffing and puffing, and I hadn't even noticed it. So it was, you know, I'm not saying that I was that great, but it was a certainly significant improvement, and that's a big motivator.
You know, I think that we're just so anxious to get there, to get to that spot we want to be, that we either hurry things up, and if they don't get there when we want them to, then we just quit. You know, I have, over the years, I have just, that's just a really bad habit of mine. I'm like, well, I haven't lost 20 pounds today, so I'm done.
Right.
You know, that's drastic, I know, but, and another thing that I thought was good too, was, you know, like you talked about, Chris, was having something big coming up. Cause a lot of times we set goals, like I'm going to lose 50 pounds and then you're done. And then what's next? You haven't really thought beyond that. So if, like you said, Chris, if like, okay, I've done this 5K, now I'm going to sign up for this 10K. Now I'm going to sign up for this half marathon. You always have a goal to move forward to, instead of just like, oh, like me, I did the half marathon. Now I'm done. I didn't have anything beyond that.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
If you run the half marathon, people will say, well, are you going to do the full marathon? And you might say, well, you know what? Running 13 miles was more than enough. And no, I don't want to do a marathon. But you might say, all right, so next year I'll do 2 half marathons.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But that's
We talked to someone on our podcast who actually walks marathons, mm-hmm. and she's done any number of them. It was a real motivator for me to think about that because I'm a very slow runner.
Yeah.
But, you know, my running pace is like most people, or my walking pace, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm slow.
You are. I use this term all the time. I'm a slogger. I'm a slow jogger.
Yeah, right. That's me too.
I'm going out for a slog is what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I don't think it really matters. You know, when I did the half marathon, I sort of had a goal in mind, and I barely made it. But there was a woman there walking. She was power walking, and she sure. was walking faster than I was slogging. And right. I was like, good for you.
Yep.
Well, you don't run those races thinking that you're going to win the race.
Right. So, well, at least I don't.
Well, no, I mean... So,
and there's been any number of 5Ks that I've come in last, and I try not to focus on that because somebody has to come in last, and especially early spring races, there's a lot of people who are very fast that will run those, and you know, they're way out of my pace group.
Yeah.
So I try not to let that bother me. And the idea is to finish.
I think the goal is
and
just finish to
finish at a certain, right. Yeah. Yeah. It is for me.
Set your own goal. And all right. So sometimes there are people that on the race course that irritate me. And I think I got to get in front of that person. But
mine's the walkers where you got to like exert that energy to get around them.
Right.
I've run girls just want to run forever. It's a 5K here in Springfield just for women exclusively. I'm always outpaced by an 8-year-old. I always have an 8-year-old in front of me. When she went first, I was like, you little brat, I'm going to get you. But then I was like, oh, good for them. I'm so glad they're doing it. So yeah, the whole goal is, I don't think we need to go in any big endeavor like that thinking I'm going to win my age, right? You know, my age in this race or whatever. I think it's just set your own personal goal and just finish.
Right.
Finish whatever race, whatever bike, whatever you decide to do. So yeah, well, I think your story is fascinating. I'm going to drop down the show notes the links to your podcast because I just think that that you ladies do a great job on your podcast. You have lots of interesting things to say. I did have a couple of questions about fitness from the Facebook group. Sure. Do you guys want to tackle that?
Sure.
All right. They're pretty much all the same, so I'm going to kind of condense them into one question. So. But one of the things that was prevalent was there's a lot of mixed messages out there. And I know some of the podcasts you've talked about this, but there's strength training versus cardio. There's keto versus paleo. There's, you know, the Mediterranean. There's this or this or this. How did you get all that clutter out and just figure out what works for you?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about fitness and then maybe food. You know, maybe Jill, you want to do the food part? I don't know. Or fitness, whatever. I feel like from a fitness standpoint, you really have to figure out what works for you and what you like to do. Because everyone's body is a little bit different. And as far as cardio versus strength versus, I call it mind-body, you know, the yoga, flexibility, conditioning, all of those things are important. There isn't one that you should do to the exclusion of others. And I think I kind of found that out the hard way by doing a lot of cardio and maybe not enough strength or maybe not enough flexibility. So, you know, with all the running, it's really important to also build the muscles that support the tendons and have the strength training because women lose muscle mass naturally. And so doing some weights, some dumbbells and some heavy weights is really important. And as well as I think yoga and keeping that flexibility as well as kind of calming my mind. So I try to do, you know, a combination of things so that it's not any one thing. The cardio feels the best, I think, because of the endorphins.
Yeah. You know, so, I'm that way with cardio too. I hate walking. To me, it's just ineffective and unproductive. And I know it's not.
Right.
It's not. But I think that's really key, is to figure out what you want. I have just recently got into doing some yoga, which I do like. And of course the running, which I like, and I've never been big into strength training. So, but I know it's important. I think we have to look beyond, we're not 25 anymore. So we there are certain things that we're going to have to do. And I know that I'm going to have to do some strength training. So I'm going to.
Well, I wasn't doing the strength training and then doing a lot of running, and I had problems with my glutes. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, if you don't have your muscles properly trained to do that, the wrong muscles will work, and then they start swelling and irritating. And in my case, the sciatic nerve, which is very painful. And yes, so I learned the hard way. You know, I've got to do the strength.
I think a lot of runners I've read neglect the strength training. They would just rather be out there running. So,
well, you can get away with that when you're young, but you got to be,
So how about all those diets out there, Jill? How do we figure out what we're supposed to eat?
Well, I think you have to sort of figure out, you have to try different things. And if you really want to follow, I mean, there's tons of different. So, all right. So let's say you are listening to something and everyone's saying keto is the way to go. You can try it and see if it does anything for you. Now, but you have to really listen to your body and think about what you like. If you don't like to eat meat, then probably keto becomes a little more, there are people who do vegan keto, and that has to be, I think, very difficult. But so you have to think about, what do you like? What is sustainable? And, you know, we could all say, well, we like ice cream and whatever, but the ice cream diet is not probably sustainable.
What?
Well, it might be, but I guess it depends what your goals
are. Yeah, if you're 12.
I think it means really figuring out what works for you. And the hard part, I think, is that for most of us is that there's so it's not like, you know, if you decide you're going to quit smoking, you get rid of all the cigarettes in your house and you stay away from people who smoke, assuming you can. But you can't get rid of all the food in your house.
And
you might be able to get rid of all of the junk food, but if you have other people in the house who are eating junk food, you really have a hard time. You can't control what other people are doing, is I think the challenge. So it's learning, how do I survive? How do I eat the way I want to eat in a way that I can continue to do so? And, you know, I think we do it for a period of time, and when it quits working, we try something else. But that's where also the data stuff comes in. So if you track your weight or your measurements, I love tracking measurements, because my weight I could be the same weight and have two different inches of whatever around my waist. So it's that kind of thing. If you have lost the weight and you're on your way and you know you're getting results, you really have to stay on top of it, so that if you come back from vacation and you realize, okay, I'm off track, what am I going to do? And you just have to keep trying what works.
Well, you know, I totally agree, but I know some people are like, well, that's just too simple to try. I mean, what do you mean try? I want to go on the keto diet, stay on there forever and be able to, even if I don't think it's going to work, or I don't like meat or whatever, because that's what my neighbor's doing. And look, she's lost 100 pounds. So I think that we just get so caught up in the looking at, the reading, the hearing, and we don't do enough doing. We know what to do. It's like my mom used to say, I know you know, but knowing and doing are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we know what to do. We just are always trying to find something else that might be a little more effective. Or maybe we won't have to work so hard, or running. Yeah, running sucks. I'm not going to run, you know, so I'm not going to do anything. So I think we get in our heads that it just isn't that simple. It just can't be that simple.
Well, if you don't like running, then choose something else. But, and if you don't like the diet plan that you're, that you've put yourself on, do something else. And it is a challenge at times because we do get caught up in, I think we've got this battle right now. You could put the keto people and the vegan people into an arena and watch them duke themselves out. But I think there's probably something in between that might work for most of us. It's just a challenge of not, it's, I think it's useful to find out what people are doing and what research says about healthy eating and that kind of thing. But, you know, you can't, so we, just like we said, we gained weight gradually. It's, you know, I didn't one day say I'm 25 years old and I'm going to purposely gain 70 pounds over the next 20 years.
Yeah.
But it did take me 20 years at least to gain that weight, probably 30 years when you think about it. It's kind of silly to think that I'm going to lose it all in 2 months. And that's where we go, though. It's like, I've been doing this forever, and I don't look like I did when I was 25. Well, you know what? You're going to lose the weight, and you're still not going to look like you did when you were 25. And I think that's the other part of all this is we don't have a lot of role models of women who look like we do. You go, if you pick up a magazine and you start reading about, whether you read about keto or paleo or whatever, you're still looking at young men and women who are very strong, very fit, and they look fantastic in their bikinis and whatever. That doesn't matter what I weigh. I'm not going to look like that.
Yeah. And that's been around forever, this unrealistic expectations that are put in front of us.
Right.
That we're just going to have to just not look at and figure out what works for us and how it makes us feel and do that thing. Find that thing and do that thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the reasons why Jill and I decided to do all this because, you know, I don't know, role model. I don't think it was that official in my mind that we needed role models, but trying to find places where you can get encouragement and motivation for maintaining a weight loss, especially over 50, they're just, it's not a popular subject in many cases. And so we thought, well, you know, we'll put our voices out there, and we've really made an effort to find experts, whether they're on nutrition or exercise or other examples of other women who have overcome, you know, a lot of challenges to become fit and strong. So, you know, and Shelley, that's why we appreciate you too, because of what you're doing with your podcast. It just, there's a lot of us. I mean, we're a large group, but kind of quiet. And plus people don't want to talk about the hormone changes and all the difficulties of maintaining strength after 50 or, you know, so, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I really appreciate you having us on the podcast and talking about things, whether it's, you know, tracking using my fitness pal or different recipes or encouraging each other through signing up for races. You know, it's all these things put together that kind of helps to keep us all motivated.
Well, what I really liked chatting with you today is that it's not always the steady path that we go on, and we have got to realize that it's okay that we're going to struggle with a few things over 50, and it's okay that, you know, if we eat ice cream when we get on scale the next day, we gain 5 pounds. It's just the nature of who we are at this age, and we have to get in our mind that we're going to have to be okay with some things. It's going to be tougher for us, and we're going to have to figure out what is good for us. And get rid of the noise and just stick with it. But, and I, you know, it's easy for me to preach that. I don't always practice what I preach, But it's just, you know, something that I'm trying to really work on myself. So I really appreciate how you ladies were just like, well, you know, there's just no one way to do it. You know, if you don't like meat, don't eat meat. I mean, it's, you know, it sounds great, seemingly simple, but you know, it's true. We have to figure out what works for us. So,
right.
And each of us have different sensitivities, maybe allergies, or just different ways that our body processes things. So looking for recipes that we really like, just like working out, finding something you really like.
Yeah.
It really helps.
Yeah.
And having a buddy. I think having a, you know, someone else that's in it with you really helps.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm going to encourage my listeners to do is to catch your podcast. So I'll put all that information down in the show notes there. But before we get finished, I always ask my guests this. what is one thing that the listeners can do today to start on their fitness journey? One small thing they can do.
Well, I guess it depends where they are in their journey. But I think rather than setting goals, I like to set action plans. And the goal is just always there, you know, but doing something, whether it's tracking the food, planning what I'm having for dinner, because dinner for me is much harder than breakfast or lunch. And then, you know, coming up with a plan that I'm going to do, not so much focusing on the goal, but the plan that gets you to the goal.
Yes. Brilliant.
And I would say, think about what motivates you. So, you know, so it's like with the weight loss, don't say I'm going to lose 50 pounds. If you really want to lose weight, set a very small number that you're going to lose. But if it's fitness related, make a commitment, whether it's, you know, find a friend that you make a commitment that you're going to walk 3 times a week or whatever, but get things on the calendar and, or sign up with some personal training or join the gym and whatever. There's just do one thing. Mm-hmm. We tend to overwhelm ourselves. Like, all right, I'm going to be fit and strong. So I'm going to sign up for a race and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do this. And then we're completely frazzled and that gets overwhelming. So just pick one thing, maybe find a friend, or so make a commitment, whether it's a financial commitment by hiring a personal trainer or a social commitment by making walking dates with your friend. That's probably would be my advice on how to get started. Just make a small commitment that you're going to live up to.
Awesome. So what is the name of your podcast? Tell our listeners the name of your podcast.
Fit Strong Women Over 50.
And your website is Becoming Ellie?
BecomingEllie.com.
All right. I'll drop all those down in the show notes, along with my favorite episode of yours, which was episode 50. So,
excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
Chris and Jill, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, it was great talking with you.